our series of Acts. And we're going to be talking about this moment at Pentecost, where all of the Jesus' disciples are together in a house, and the Holy Spirit falls on them. But before we do that, I wanted to walk you through three stories. If you can think back to the very beginning, before anything existed, before there was a man, a woman, a world, an earth, anything. We know from the scripture that at that moment, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all present together. And God spoke, and by the power of His Word, the earth and the heavens around it were created from nothing. He spoke and was created out of nothing. We read that at the very beginning, the earth was void and without form. These are Hebrew words that also mean empty or a wasteland. And it was completely dark. But it says that the earth was covered in water. And in that moment, when God began to initiate the creation of the world that we know as we see it today, full of life, full of animals, this lush planet that we live on. In that moment, we know that in the dark, the Holy Spirit was hovering above the waters. In the moment of creation, the Holy Spirit was present with the Father and the Son, moving over or fluttering over the earth that was about to come into being for the first time. Pretty wild story. There might be some wild stories tonight. Move forward in time. Moses was the man that God chose to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt. Israel was in bondage to Egypt for many, many years in slavery. And Moses was this man that God raised up to lead them out of Egypt, to go to a promised land, right? To be their own nation again. And as they came out of Egypt, God brought Moses up onto this giant mountain, Mount Sinai, and he gave instructions to Moses on the top of that mountain to build a tabernacle or a tent. You can see it there. I don't know if that was exactly what it looked like. And so, on the first day, on the first month of the Jewish calendar, Moses built that tent. And he put inside the tent some really cool things. You guys probably learned these in Vacation Bible School when you were younger. But he put the altar of incense, he put the table of showbread, there's a lampstand, you know, the Jewish lampstand. And then there was a veil, and behind that veil there was this place called the Holy of Holies. And he placed the Ark of the Covenant. This is what Indiana Jones was going for, okay? You know what I'm talking about. And when he finished all of this, he anointed the whole thing. I wonder how much oil it took. He anointed the whole tent, everything that was in the tabernacle with oil. And then suddenly, out of the sky, this massive cloud came down and covered the entire tent, the entire tabernacle. So much so that it says that Moses couldn't even go in, couldn't even find his way in. That really doesn't do a great job of showing that. He could even find his way into the tabernacle. And it says that the glory of God filled that tabernacle, filled that whole tent. And as the sun went down, that cloud turned into a raging fire that sat above the temple. Or, I'm sorry, the tabernacle, which was to be the central place of worship for the Jewish nation. In the time of Judges, the Philistines were this group of just really violent country, right? And they kept attacking and pillaging the nation of Israel, God's people. And they were fierce, but there was this guy named Samson. And Samson didn't want to put up with it. He stood up to the Philistines. In fact, he went and like burned down a bunch of the Philistines' crops. And so the Philistines didn't like that. They sent a battalion into Israel to get Samson. And like the good friends that they were, Samson's friends said, let's tie him up and hand him over to the Philistines. So that's what they did. They tied Samson up, and as Samson was walking towards the Philistines in cords, these Philistines began to scream and shout and race towards him to kill him. But in that moment, as he was approaching him, the Word of God says that the Holy Spirit rushed upon Samson, and the cords that were holding him melted away, and the Holy Spirit gave him a supernatural power. Supernatural physical strength, and he picks up the jawbone of the donkey that's laying there on the road, and he single-handedly kills 1,000 Philistines in that moment. Are these stories getting progressively weirder? I wanted to tell you these stories because Christianity, our faith, is not just a system of belief that you adopt so that you can get into heaven. It's a story. Christianity is a story of a loving God who's been acting throughout history to create a family of sons and daughters who get to enjoy Him and love Him. And that story spans all the way back to before the creation of the world. And it runs forward to this moment right now. As you're sitting in your pew here tonight, God is still telling His story. There's an academic Christian, a theologian, a guy named N.T. Wright, and he describes God's story as a five-act play. The first four acts have already been written. Act one is God's creation of the world, and the creation of man. And then Act 2 is the fall, right? When man chooses to rebel from God and is separated from God forever. And then Act 3 was God's establishment of the nation of Israel, which were to be His people in the way that He would show His glory in the earth. And then Act 4 was Jesus, right? When Jesus came into the earth, died a sinless life, right? Made a way back into relationship with our Heavenly Father for all of mankind. And then Act 5 begins with the establishment of the church to bring the kingdom and the gospel of Jesus across the earth. These five acts or chapters, whatever you want to call them, they might not be a perfect organization of the story that we know that God has been telling through history. But they give you the sense, right, that there is a story that is unfolding in time that God is hovering over. People call the book of Acts, which we're studying, a theodrama. They call it a theodrama. It's a book that tells the story of the origin and the beginning of the church. This very church that God is establishing in the earth. But this is what's interesting about this, is that that story is not over. This is the act, Act 5. This is the act that we are living in right now. And so what we do in this church gets to tell part of the story. It's part of the unfolding of God's story in the earth. When you think about that, I think it's important to realize that the story of the church, it's unique to right now. Like, this is what God is doing right now. But it's not separated from the past. It's part of Acts 1, 2, 3, and 4. The church is deeply connected to the work of God that He's done throughout history. And so tonight, as we consider the Holy Spirit, one part of the Trinity, He, the Holy Spirit, has been poured out on the church in a new and amazing way, as we see here in Acts. He's poured out in a very powerful way. But He's not some new invention, right? He's not some new power that God created just for the church, right? That He would pour out on Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has been a member of the Trinity from the very beginning, and He's been working together with the Father and the Son throughout all history, from the dawn of time to right now, to reveal the love and the power of God to His children. You say amen to that? That's super cool. So as we look at the Bible, and we look at the story of the Bible, we see this unfolding, really, of a relationship of the Holy Spirit with the people of God. I told you some of these stories, but at the beginning of creation, the Holy Spirit was hovering above the earth. When God set up his tabernacle, I didn't tell the story of the temple, but the same thing happens. The Spirit of God falls upon those central places of worship where God wants man to come into contact with him in these like special buildings. The Holy Spirit throughout the Old Testament rushed upon kings and heroes that were doing victorious deeds for the people of Israel, and they would get special supernatural physical power to do those things. We also have the prophets in the Old Testament. Throughout the whole Old Testament, we have these guys that are called prophets, and God gives them dreams and visions. And if you read them, a lot of them are about the Holy Spirit. And there's this consistent theme for all of them that one day, this Holy Spirit is going to come and be poured out in a greater way. And then when Jesus came and he walked the earth, his ministry really begins at his moment of baptism. And in his moment of baptism, we see that the Holy Spirit comes down upon him like a dove, flutters above him like a dove. And then the Holy Spirit empowers everything that he does. Jesus works miracles, shows signs to show that he is the Son of God in the earth. And then at the end, when Jesus is about to go to the cross, he tells his followers, after I leave, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. It's pretty exciting. This brings us right up to our point that we read about, that Jake read about in Acts 2. And I want to set the scene for you a little bit as we think about this moment as they're in the house together on Pentecost. This was a really fragile moment. Do you get that sense? Can you sense how fragile this moment is? Jesus has gone. He's ascended. He's not in the earth. He's not going to do the work of sharing the gospel and building the church. He's gone. And he leaves behind this group of people. I read about them. There was some fishermen. There was a tax collector. There was a guy who was a zealot. That doesn't sound good. There were three women. There were multiple women who had been demon-possessed. And they're all together in this room about to start a church. How long do you think it would be before they begin to disagree with one another or have differences and say, like, I'm done with you guys. I don't want to do this anymore. They hadn't been to seminary. They hadn't been to business school. You know what? I did some archaeological research on that. They did not have any organizational charts. I bet they were full of fear. Their leader was gone. The Romans and the Jews were after them, wanting to destroy this new way, this new Christian movement. So I hope you see that this was a very unlikely group of people to build a church that's going to span across the entire earth. In fact, I think we can say confidently, in their own ability, in their own capacity, their natural giftings, these people were incapable of building the church of God. They couldn't do it. There was no way. We talked about Luke and Acts being a two-part series, Luke being the first book, a two-part. And if you go back into Luke, you hear Jesus say something. He says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. And this is the important part. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. I want to really just circle that. Stay in the city. Jesus' instructions to his followers are really, really clear here. He does not want them to do anything. Until what? Until they receive power from the Holy Spirit. Jesus wanted them to know that you guys don't have it in yourselves to be my church unless you have the presence of the Holy Spirit in you. This was the reality then. I want to tell you, this is the reality right now. Nothing's changed about the dynamic of God's church. We cannot be the church of God in the earth without the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, without the presence of Holy Spirit, we're just like that little crew. We're not talented enough to build the kingdom of God. We must have the Holy Spirit. right? We're absolutely dependent on the indwelling of God, the Holy Spirit, in our community for us to be people of God. It's really cool. Jesus' followers, they were obedient. They didn't leave. They stayed in the city. I think they were a little worried and hiding away a little bit. But on the day of Pentecost was this like giant festival harvest day that happened in Jerusalem. And there were all these people from all over, all over the nation crammed into Jerusalem at the time. And all of the followers, we read about this, right? All the followers were crammed into this little house together. And they're all staying there praying and worshiping God together. And as they're there in the room, there is a mighty wind that comes out of nowhere and begins to fill up this super loud noise of a giant wind, probably like a tornado, comes into that room and begins to stir everything up. And then there's this fire that begins to drop, and it divides into these individual flames of fire. And that fire begins to sit on the head of each person that's in the room. And they get filled with the Holy Spirit, and they begin talking in languages that they don't even know. They begin speaking about the amazing things about God. Like, they start telling how good God is in these other languages. And it's interesting, it says it was so loud. Like, what was going on in the house was so loud that all the people in the town that were gathered for the festival were like, what's going on over there? They run over there, and then Jesus' followers start interacting with them, and because they're from all over the nation with different languages, they're like, we understand. You're talking to us about how good God is. I hope you can kind of see what's going on here, because you have the story, right? The Holy Spirit was falling on this group of people just like he fell on the tabernacle, just like he fell on the temple. In the Old Testament. And God's revealing something here. Things are changing, right? God's no longer going to dwell just at the temple or just at the tabernacle, but now he's going to dwell in his people. They're going to be the new place where the Holy Spirit hangs out. And because the flame was divided and landed on each one of them, we know that every person in this room, the Holy Spirit wants to come and fill you individually. Right? The Holy Spirit is the same as he's always been, but now he's being poured out in a greater way, in a more personal way, to empower the church to be the people of God in the earth, to perform the acts of God in the earth, to glorify him. So now the Holy Spirit's habitation, or his home, is the people of God. This really fulfills one of those Old Testament prophecies I told you about from the book of Joel. He says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he is not poured out on us momentarily. He doesn't come like he came on Samson and then leave him. But the Holy Spirit has come to stay. He goes with us everywhere we go. He's not just like you with us when we're here at church tonight. As you leave tonight, the Holy Spirit goes with you. He's present in your heart. The Holy Spirit. That's pretty awesome. That's transforming. That changes everything. So, what does the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, when he comes and he spends time with you, what happens? What does it do? This is really cool. One of the things that the Holy Spirit does when he dwells inside of us is that he brings this massive, huge increase in our intimacy level with God. We get to personally experience the voice of God, we experience his presence, and we experience his guidance in our lives. Right? Remember, Jesus told his disciples, like, it's better that I'm going to go up and be in heaven so that the Holy Spirit will come. That's better. Because the Holy Spirit is going to lead you in all things. He's going to lead you in truth. The Holy Spirit takes the things that are Jesus's, right? He takes all the things that he knows about Jesus, and he declares them to us. The Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, the Holy Spirit knows like the deepest things about God, right? Like there's probably some friends that you have that know some, you know, intimate, close things about you. The Holy Spirit is that friend to God. He knows everything, the deep things about God, and he wants to show them to us. He reveals them to us because he lives inside of us and he speaks to us. He is God in us. The Spirit, one of the things that God wants to communicate to us the most is that he loves us. The Holy Spirit is a master of communicating to our hearts how much God loves us. He reveals to us that we are like children to God. They say, Abba Father. They say, I love you, Dad. The Holy Spirit brings that reality into our hearts that we're children of God. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us like blessings that God wants to pour out on us that are too crazy for us to even understand. It says there are things that we can't even think of that the Holy Spirit reveals to us about what God wants to do for us. The Holy Spirit empowers intimacy, closeness, personal relationship with God, our Father, Jesus Christ. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he transforms us from the inside. He gives us a new heart that enables us to be the kind of people that actually love other people like Jesus loves other people. In Ezekiel, it was prophesied that when the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us, he's going to give us a brand new heart, like a new heart. He's going to take your old heart, get rid of it, and give you a new heart. This heart, this new heart, would have power to obey the law of God. Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27 says this, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. That's a powerful promise. Before we had the Spirit, we were unable to really love. We were unable to obey the law of God, to walk in the promises of God. We couldn't love like Jesus loved. But now, we have this supernatural force, the Holy Spirit, living inside of us, that transforms us into the kind of people who have new hearts, hearts that aren't like stones, hearts that can feel and care and love other people. The Holy Spirit does this when he comes into your life. It's awesome. When the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he gives us all kinds of supernatural power. Again, the prophet Joel prophesied that when the Spirit was poured out on the sons and daughters, when the Spirit was poured out, he says that sons and daughters would prophesy, men and women would dream dreams, and old men would dream dreams, and young men would see visions. This is exactly, like if you read the full book of Acts, this is exactly what we see happen in the book of Acts. The Holy Spirit is poured out on them, and they begin to prophesy. They begin to see the future. They begin to, like, discern the thoughts that other people are having in their heads. Without being told, they dream dreams. They get a prayer language that helps them speak to God. They raise the dead. They heal the sick. One guy teleported somewhere. People in shackles in prisons, the shackles just fell off. Demons were destroyed. And some of their enemies who were coming after them were just blinded so they couldn't help them. Just like the heroes of the Old Testament who received these supernatural physical giftings, God is pouring out spiritual giftings on his church so that they can bring the kingdom of God into the earth. Do you believe that? It's interesting. Last, when the Holy Spirit dwells in us, he gives us the ability to walk in unity. This is like something everybody's trying to figure out. How does a group of people when the Holy Spirit dwells in the church, they have the ability to walk in common. God's vision for his church is that we be like a family, a group of friends, more than friends, right? Brothers and sisters. And that we would live our lives together, opening up our homes, inviting people over for dinner, loving our children together, growing old together. It's actually supposed to be from every tribe and every nation. We're all supposed to walk together in love and community. When you look at the world around you, sometimes that seems impossible. But the Holy Spirit can make this possible. He is a unifier. When the Holy Spirit comes and lives in each one of us, he's in one spirit. And when we all partake in that one spirit, he eliminates the hate and the division and the unforgiveness and the self-striving. And as we press into his spirit, we become one together. Pentecost, if you notice, is like a reverse battle. Remember the story of battle? Everyone was confused and they all went their own ways, speaking different languages, scattered across the earth. But in this moment, the Holy Spirit, the unifier, brings all of those people back together to be able to understand one another because he wants people to live in love and unity with one another. That's what he does in the people of God. When the Holy Spirit comes and it lives inside of us, I'm a lawyer. One of the things I do is I do evictions. People are living in a house that they don't belong in. Keep them out. You don't like me anymore, do you? I know. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into that, into your heart. He kicks out those evil spirits. He kicks out that desire to divide, that desire to seek self first. And he says, I'm going to come live in here, and I'm going to help you be one with the people around you. One in Jesus. Amen? All right, so what's all this for, right? Like all these cool things. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't just do these things for kids. He's not like, hey, I just want to. I mean, he likes having a good time with us, but it's not just to have a good time with us. The Holy Spirit has a very specific goal. And we see this in Acts. When the people of God are filled with the Holy Spirit, what do? They witness. Every time people are filled with the Holy Spirit, they witness about the goodness of Jesus Christ. They share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people, right? When they were in the room. They didn't even know they're witnessing, but they begin to witness immediately and go out in the streets. These people hear them in their own languages. 3,000 people were saved and joined the church because of that. And Peter's sermon. When Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he witnessed. When Stephen, one of the first deacons, was filled with the Holy Spirit, he witnessed. When Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit, he witnessed. The purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives is to make us witnesses of Jesus to others. All of the intimacy that we talked about, the holy life, the supernatural power, the unity in our church, it's all geared to one thing. God wants his church to be a group of people that share the gospel. I think, yeah, that's a pretty common and well-known idea, but one of the things I really want to make sure we leave tonight with an understanding of is there's something really powerful about a Holy Spirit witness. There's something really unique about a Holy Spirit witness. It is supernaturally accurate. When we talk to other people about things, and when we talk to people specifically about Jesus, right, it's crowded. I mean, if we just do it in our own thought, our own power, our own understanding, it's crowded with our own perspective, right? It's crowded with our own thoughts about who Jesus is. But let me tell you this. There's a reality about who Jesus is that goes beyond your experience of who he is. Like, you don't even know everything about Jesus. There's a reality to who he is. There's a reality to what other people need to hear about who Jesus is. When the Holy Spirit witnesses through you, those are the words that come out. There's a supernatural clarity and otherworldly understanding. understanding of Jesus that comes out of your mouth when the Holy Spirit is in you, so that other people would see the real King Jesus through you. Is that awesome? Like you're starting to do something that's way outside of your pay grade when the Holy Spirit begins to witness to you. Have you ever had that experience? Maybe some of you have that experience where you like meet your neighbor, you start talking to them, it's just a normal conversation, then you start talking to them about Jesus. Then you start really talking to them about Jesus. And it's like, whoa, what am I saying? I didn't even know these things. And I'm telling them like crazy things about Jesus. I've had that experience a couple of times. It's pretty awesome. It's awesome when I go from like mad to like the Holy Spirit. And then I'm like, ah, this is gonna be good. Something's gonna happen. Right? The Holy Spirit inspired witness is not about Matt Anderson. It's not even about Lexington Christian Fellowship things, right? It's not. Holy Spirit is not super interested in promoting Lexington Christian Fellowship. He wants to tell people about Jesus and who Jesus is. Because Jesus is worthy to be talked to others. In Corinthians, it says, we preach Christ. And in Colossians, it says, we proclaim Christ. And John, Jesus tells us that the Holy Spirit wants to glorify Jesus. The Holy Spirit, like, doesn't care about himself so much. He wants to glorify Jesus. He wants to tell other people about Jesus more than he wants to do anything else. He's full of humility. The Holy Spirit is full of humility. He's not promoting himself, but he wants to promote Jesus. And so when that Spirit is inside of you, when the Holy Spirit inside of you, he begins to move you away from promoting yourself and talking about the things that you think are important or interesting. And he moves you towards speaking about the amazing things of God. This is really a very fragile moment for the church on a spiritual level, too. And I want to mention this before we move on. Talk about how the Holy Spirit kind of like takes people that are not real skilled in their own giftings and transforms them into people that can really witness about the life. There's something else. There's a spiritual reality to the church. Whenever people come together, they have a spirit. There's a spirit here tonight. As we gather tonight. There's a spirit in us. And if that spirit is not the Holy Spirit, there's a vacant space. And there are other spirits that want to take that space. There are demonic spirits. There are spirits of division. There are secular spirits. They're all vying to kind of be the spirit for groups of people. This is why it was so critical that these people be filled with the Holy Spirit. That he would be the one that led them and guided them, rather than demons. That's a reality, right? We can be led around by secular spirits. That can be like what leads us in what we do. But if there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we are connected to God. As a result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, we see that this church, like this little group of people, later in Acts it says, they turned the world upside down. And that's really true. The gospel of Jesus Christ spread across the earth from that little tiny group of people in that room in Jerusalem. And there's only one thing to conclude here. I hope you're seeing the same thing that I'm seeing. Like, what's the logic of this? The logic is, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. He did a mighty work in them. And that should, I think, bring you to the place just of being on your knees for this church. This church needs the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be led around by spirits of division and demonic spirits. If we want to do something more than just talk about this church and what our ideas are, if we want to be the kind of church that can declare who Jesus is and the miracle of taking people from being dead and bringing them into life, have to have the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to come and dwell in this church. For God to make us who He wants us to be, we need the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to draw us together. The Holy Spirit can make us one in this church right now. And the Holy Spirit can give us a message, a witness, a declaration for this city to call them to their Father in heaven. So my question for you tonight is, will you invite the Holy Spirit? You want to invite the Holy Spirit? When the Holy Spirit fell on Pentecost, there were two reactions. Did you see that at the end of the story? There were two reactions. Some of the people mocked and said, like, these people are drunk. This is weird. Don't have anything to do with this. But there was another group of people who were amazed, and they were curious. Find out more about the Holy Spirit. What camp are you in tonight? Do you mock the Holy Spirit? Do you ignore the Holy Spirit? Are you hungry? Are you captivated? Do you want more? Do you want Him to come into your heart? Jesus told us this. Sean and Angela, this is your cue. Last slide. Tyler, that's you. Jesus told us this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Amen? That's how easy it is. If you want the Holy Spirit, you have it. And your Father in heaven loves you and wants to give you good gifts, who will pour out His Holy Spirit on you. I think for our church, in this moment in time, this is like at the top of the priorities. We need the Holy Spirit to come and fill this family. Amen? Okay, let me pray real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word brings light to where we are in darkness, that we're not seeing things how we need to see them. And Lord, we pray, I pray that You would use this story of how You empowered Your people in Acts, in Jerusalem. You would use this in story to waken up inside of us a desire to come to know Your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we love You. And we ask You to come and fill us up, that You would pour out the love of the Father in us, and that love would overflow, and we could share that love with other peoples in the city, in the state, nation, entire world. We want people to come to You. In Jesus' name, amen.